Hey guys, welcome to Full Power. Appreciate y'all tuning in. We've got Zach Pritz in the studio today, so stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss a minute of us hanging out with him. Stay tuned. Welcome, welcome. Hey Zach, how's it going, buddy?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for being on the show. I'm glad that we kind of got reconnected through Larry after we had randomly connected over a house like, 2 years ago or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so, yeah.
Well, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Well, we're very blessed and thankful that you're able to have some time to hang out with us. And before we get into the meat and potatoes of what we're going to be talking about today, I'm going to do a quick community update for everybody just so they know what's going on. We're actually going to be looking to add some more volunteers to the staff. We're looking for production folks. We're looking for graphic design folks, web design folks, administrative folks. Basically, if you can do something, we probably want you on the team. Mm-hmm. And so if you're available, man, you know, you can provide us with coffee for all the guests that come in or something like that.
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. So that's kind of our update. And before we kind of get into your story, do you mind opening us up in prayer?
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and this moment here. We ask that you would be present with us, not only here in this space, but also just through our words, through our conversation, that you would be honored, that we would be pushed towards loving you better in all of our roles as men. Thank you for Andrew and this church. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Thanks, man. And Tell us a little bit about who Zach is, kind of, you know, when did you meet Jesus? How did all that transpire? What's your testimony? What's your story, man?
Sure. So I grew up in a family of six boys. So my mom.
A lot of estrogen there.
Yeah, lots, tons. Yeah, I think, I think my mom will be sainted at some point probably in her life. Two really amazing parents, very, very strong believers who really showed us, you know, the more the radical, you know, way of following Christ. Grew up in Florida, went to a few different churches growing up, and I was the youngest of the first five. And I say first five, we adopted another boy, Josh, when I was 17 and he was seven. So mm-hmm. My parents were going to be empty nesters. I was going off to college and they added Josh to the family. And so
they weren't ready for that open nested season.
Not.
Now, most people are, especially after five boys, but
yeah, it was, it's been a journey for them. So we kind of, you know, we went to a few different churches. Really, I think where my faith in the way of Christ took off was at a point in high school when we were gonna kind of go into a church. I think at this point we were at a community Bible church. We had previously been at a Baptist church, and there was kind of this group of students, youth, college-aged, one of my older brothers who was a missionary at the time, and then our youth pastor at the church that we were at. We all sort of came together, and we started what became known unofficially as The Barn. It was just this very organic kind of youth community movement. Mm-hmm. We would literally meet in this barn, and we would have somebody from the community, usually a pastor, would come and share the gospel, and we would have music, and it was, you know, through that kind of outside of the walls of the church, you know, we saw the way that Christ was working in and through this ministry, very organic. I mean, it was not, you know, we did not have a a board or,
yeah,
you know, any, I mean, it was raw.
And yeah.
So kind of had that experience. And I, you know, as I think growing up in the church, I kind of always had a conflicted relationship, I think, with the church. And so that experience felt, you know, it felt more organic, more raw, more real. Mm-hmm. Moved on from there, went to Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, got my degree in biblical studies.
You don't say. You mean you didn't get in like technology or business or something like that from Moody?
I did not. No, they're not very strong in that area. So.
Hey man, where they're strong, they're strong. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I did that in Chicago, and when met my wife and we got married, ended up moving to Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it was in Ann Arbor where we ended up at another church that was very organic. It was kind of a house church network, actually, all through the Midwest. The church that we were a part of, it was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and they called themselves the Church in Ann Arbor. That was it. There was no other name. They just wanted to be the hands and feet of Christ in that city, serve that city. And the way we kind of had it organized was you would, for your small group, that sort of thing, you would just go whichever home was nearest you. So wherever you lived, you kind of got to link in through your neighborhood, and really become the church in a way that was a little more natural to the flow of life, which I find to be a consistent difficulty, I think, for people in church. Is like, well, how do I, you know, even for me, it's like, how do I have all of these commitments in life. I have work, I have business, I have kids, I have a spouse, all these other things, even just wanting to hang out with friends. Then I have church, and I should go on Sunday, and I should, you know. And so being in Ann Arbor and in that church, it became sort of a way of living, which was intentional with this community, with these people. And then we did meet on Sundays, and we had all that, but it was really the core and the heart of it was this day-to-day living. Mm-hmm. And so I think those moments of that raw community that really affected me. Maybe that's because I kind of grew up in the church, so it never, you know, I never really felt like I never had maybe that aha moment in church as a kid. I mean, I was baptized when I was 11 but it was really more through meeting these people who were also seeing that they wanted their faith to be living in and through all things that they do. And the community that was born from that, I think, was special. And so moving here, you know, we have found some amazing people in Hendersonville, some friends, and like our community is just it's so strong. And we're kind of cultivating that same thing here, even though we are, you know, we do, my wife and I go to First Baptist in Hendersonville, and but it's in and through that community and still creating that life on life, that day to day. So,
and how do you, 'cause it sounds like that's something that has been really, you know, very formative to kind of your walk with Christ, the rawness, the life on life, you know, kind of how like Jesus discipled his guys, right? Mm-hmm. They journeyed together day in and day out. So how are you, because I think a lot of guys, me included, are trying to strike and find this good balance of community inside of a larger church setting, mm-hmm. you know, where it's not necessarily the home church setting, but it's, you know, like, you've got your main campus and then mm-hmm. so on and so forth. So how are you able to get fed and be engaged in that community when you've got so many people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that is a dilemma of large communities, is figuring out how to cultivate a strong organic, relational energy that is coming from the church, like you said, like Christ did himself, kind of traveling around gathering these people. I like to think of Christ as like a walk and talk kind of guy, you know. It's like, let's walk and we'll talk about this, or we're going to be eating together. Mm-hmm.
Doing life.
Yeah. And so I think, I mean, it's not easy. I mean, we, you know, we've been in Hendersonville for 5 years, and it's been in and through owning a business, the jobs that we work, as well as owning a business. And then even the community that we've built with people like Larry that we've met, all of it's just been this network of people that God brings into your life. But I think there's an awareness that you have to have in order to cultivate those relationships.
Yeah.
It's easy to go through the motions. It's easy to make the sum of the Christian faith attending church mm-hmm. one day a week and then not, you know, not really having that intentional faith walk after that, the rest of your life. And so, but I think it's the building relationships that are friendships,
mm-hmm.
That really create that community, and that bond, that Christ-like bond. You know, Christ talks about dying for your friends.
Yeah.
You know, so I think he understood that. He understood the intentionality of friends. I mean, I don't think Christ had a lot of friends, you know, and so I've been blessed to have a group of guys that I've become very, very close with, and we talk regularly, whether mm-hmm. it's through, you know, we're texting each other, we're calling each other, we meet once a week at least, and then we see each other on Sunday when we go to church, you know, and so I think that's the type of, I don't know, to answer your question, I don't really know exactly. I don't know if there's a formula for.
I think intentionality.
Yeah.
You know, I think mm-hmm. that's it. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head with that. And I'm glad you brought that up because Fernanda and I have been talking about that recently, how you can kind of see societally with culture and technology, how it's pulling us apart mm-hmm. rather than mm-hmm. unifying us as individual people.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see depth of community, which is kind of like what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You see very superficial, almost like a Twitter-esque, you know, just little, hey, check out my car. Hey, go hang out at this place and shoot hoops. Or it's mm-hmm. just quick little interactions rather than having accountability, mm-hmm. having discipleship, mm-hmm. you know, having somebody there for you and having a meaningful relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the key you hit is intentionality, because if we do look at Christ, which obviously that's kind of our archetype, when we look at him, he was very intentional. He didn't do anything without focus on upbuilding those around him and pouring into those around him. And I think that's just so critical for us as men to be intentional with each other, with our wives, with our kids, with our businesses, with our employers, employees, whatever our circumstances are, in our churches, and be in those spaces intentionally. So I think that's really good. And so kind of as you've gone from, you know, barn church to home church network to now you're in kind of a more traditional, if you will, church setting where you've got a main campus, et cetera. How would you say you as a dad and a husband, What are some like key things God's showing you as far as leading your family, like your little church at home?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a conversation I have a lot with my wife, and also with, you know, this group of guys that we have. And I think, you know, I think COVID kind of pushed everybody towards needing to address that as churches were closed and we were either online or, you know, some people like us, we weren't like, you know, we weren't great about being at online church. And so we tried to figure out what sort of patterns can we cultivate. And I'll be honest, there's some weeks where we work with between our business and then work, you know, as a teacher at Veritas, where we have to take a weekend, whether that's a Sunday, maybe it's a falls on a Sunday if we work all day Saturday, where we have to just have a family day and we just have
Sabbath.
And we just, you know, there's just no, for those days, there's no room for anything that has to do with the business or with our, you know, with our job or even with sometimes with friends, we have to just shut it down. Mm-hmm. And it's not, that's a moving target for us and for me. I'm certainly don't have the answers to how that works. But I think the more, I mean, we see it, if you want to talk about what is church and it's creating healthy relationships, healthy people who reflect the image of God, then that's what we're supposed to see in our kids as Christian parents. And that's what we're supposed to cultivate. And we, you know, we see it in our daughter who's three when we're both there.
Yeah.
And we're present. And we're not on our phones all day or all night or all evening. And we get down on the ground and we're playing with her, that we see the image of God begin more, you know, she reflects that more. She reflects the love that we give her. And then she also reflects when we don't give her that, when we're not able to be present. But I think you're right. I think not only are we challenged because of whatever personal experiences we've had in church that may kind of push us away or make us skeptical or whatever we have, but where the challenge is also just the consumer culture, the technology, and I think there's a fear of depth in relationships now. I don't think people know. I think people don't know what that looks like anymore. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to cultivate like a really deep friendship when most of our social experiences are taking place on our phone, when commenting on people's posts or just scrolling by, you know, you don't have enough time in a scrolling through a Facebook post to laugh with the person or to mm-hmm. really grieve with somebody who's hurting. You just, for that moment, you might have some emotional jolt, but I think we, you know, I think we're continually, as fathers, we have to fight that temptation to just be sucked in and succumb to the technology. And I think we have to lead in that way. And our kids, I mean, what I was thinking about this the other day, what is the result of our kid looking at us day in and day out with the phone, with the phones in front of our face first? Yeah. Like, just symbolically, what are they?
You know, they think, like, we're prioritizing the phone over them.
Right. Even if we're not for them, but that's going to be their perception.
Yep.
Or the laptop or even the TV. You know, if your only shared experience all week is everybody watching the TV, you know, what are we doing?
Yep.
In terms, and I'm a teacher, so I'm always thinking about, you know, I'd say I spend more time thinking about education and sort of how we're forming ourselves and the people around us than I do about more of the church side of things. You know, cause I have students every day that we're talking about these things, thinking about what, you know, what's this doing to you in the long run, that mm-hmm. this culture that we're up against. And it doesn't have to be a war, I'd say. If we can figure out how to keep our life well ordered, you know?
Yeah. I think something that I've kind of seen as a common thread is complexity. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, technology, and we always talk about the fast-pacedness of, you know, first world culture and everything, you know, I think it comes down to complexity. Because of technology, because of the speed of how everything is going, we're able to, you know, the quote from I'm gonna nerd out here for a minute, so you have to come go with me. In Lord of the Rings, where Bilbo Baggins says, "I feel like butter spread across too much bread." Mm-hmm. I think that's mm-hmm. what we've created. We've created mm-hmm. with our families, with our churches, with all our interactions, where we're just spread so thin across all these areas. Yeah, I have, you know, 5 bazillion friends on Facebook, but how many can I call up at 2 a.m. when my little girl's sick, or, you know, my little boy wants to go to the lake, and how many of my close mm-hmm. friends can I call up and be like, "Hey, let's go to the lake." You know, we don't have that depth of community because we're trying to cover all these different bases, you know, and I think technology is a very powerful tool. And I think it's awesome for, you know, for education, for, sharing the gospel, for sharing God's truth. And I think that, you know, like you were alluding to, it has to be monitored and tempered to where it's in a healthy balance so that it's not taking priority and precedence. And it's also not compounding the complexity issue where all of a sudden we have so many things. It's okay, I have to check my Twitter account. I have to check my Instagram account. I have to check my Facebook account. I have to Pinterest. I have to, you know, the list goes on. And all of a sudden you're spread across all those different platforms and you're getting stress from all those different mm-hmm. areas as well. And that mm-hmm. that's just not healthy, you know?
Yeah. I think we lose sight of the fact that even having a presence on social media, it takes a part of you. So it's, we are stretching ourselves to put a little bit of ourselves here, a little bit of ourselves here. And like we're living sometimes more in those realms than we are in the present physical mm-hmm. reality of life. But that's the only way that you can't, you know, you can admire somebody that you're, if you're listening, like people listening to this podcast, I listen to podcasts all the time. You can admire those people, but you don't love those people per se. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're coming into contact with them is just too separated. It's through this medium where you don't have any direct relationship. And so, but when you're sitting down to eat and you're talking and you can see the emotion, you can respond to the emotion, you can shape one another, then that's where love can take place in the particulars.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's why Christ was so careful about when he taught differently to individuals and then to the crowds in a way. It was almost like, you know, it almost felt like Christ would say things to the crowds that would be jarring because mm-hmm. If you can't get past that level, then if we get down to the nitty gritty, then you're really not going to be,
you're not going to connect with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, I think we have to be very careful about how we, again, like you're saying, balance that technology, use it as a tool,
yeah,
keep it in its place and don't let it wants to rule over us, you know, and I think we all feel that and we know that to be intuitive, mm-hmm. but we often aren't, you know, we're not calculating that. And I think
we're not intentional to bring that back up.
Intentional. Yeah. So,
and so I've been off social media for about 3 years now. You said you're off social media. Tell me a little bit about, God and, you know, kind of how he brought you to the point where social media wasn't something that he wanted you to be about anymore.
So the only social media that I have is through the business Instagram profile. That's the only one I have on my phone. And, man, I wouldn't be able to tell you the how many years it's been. I've always been, I'd say, probably a little skeptical. It was just my personality, mm-hmm. maybe a little cynical. And so I think there were moments even in college, you know, where I started to feel that double-edged sword of, this is cool, this is good, I'm kind of going with the flow. But then I would feel that twinge, and that twinge would get stronger and stronger, and I would just feel like this is not healthy, it's just not good. I don't know these people. And then I have all these real people around me that I need to know, I need to get to know. So funny enough, I mean, I met my wife on Twitter. So that's how we met, oddly enough, you know? And so,
and then right after that, you closed your account.
Yeah. So then after, like,
I don't need it anymore. I'm done.
I mean, I do remember, I don't know when this was, but I do remember the day I deleted my, you know, my Facebook and my Instagram, and my wife just being like, it was sort of like a closing of the chapter, you know, and I think it was, I think becoming a teacher, I began to realize the importance of being present with people and being good. And so I'm in graduate school and I'm doing some of my, I do a lot of my writing on education and Christian education and the types of methods and that we choose to do. And a lot of us educators have been thinking about the way that the internet's been used in a way to replace aspects of education. And so I think the more that I, as an educator, would just thought about human beings and the way we develop and the way that our nature continues to change, I kind of just got to a point where I felt like the Lord was showing me that this is not shaping me in any way that's good. I mean, I'm not going to go so far to say that that's true for everybody. I have the business profile on there because we use it for that purpose. And, but I would say most people I talk to, they are, it's a double-edged sword. They would probably like to delete it. And they just haven't. And I think
you kind of touched on it. There's an addictive aspect to it, right? I know that there's, high likelihood that there's a guy listening or watching that is kind of on that teeter-totter edge of, do I close out my accounts? Do I stay in? And, I like what you alluded to as well, that, it's not just because you and I aren't on them doesn't mean that's the correct course for everybody. Because I do believe that, there is a mission field there, almost like a country or a province. It's its own entity.
It is, yeah.
And people can be very missional and the gospel and kingdom can advance and spread there. So, speaking specifically to a guy that's listening or watching, that's thinking that they're being called away from social media, what encouragement or what kind of, thoughts of wisdom would you give that person that's kind of on the edge trying to figure it out?
Yeah, I would say take stock of your day. I'm a big fan of journaling, and a lot of people are like, I don't like to journal. I'm not a journal. It doesn't really matter what you're writing, but you start and it's a way to self-analyze and take stock of your day. And that's what I think I started to do was, well, what am I doing? Am I using it well, or am I just scrolling? Am I just in the vortex that sucks you in? And if you can get to the end of a day and take stock and basically realize that this brought little to no value to my life in Christ and my love for my neighbors and the people around me, then to me, it's like, well, what are you holding on to it for?
Yeah.
What's the, and if it's because you're worried about, you can find all sorts of reasons. So then you just got to scrutinize those reasons and figure out what's keeping you there. And I would say, like, if you ever asked my students, they will they pretty much expect me to rant against social media weekly, because I see what it's doing, especially to teenagers. And I see the way that they keep changing it. If you look at the way that Facebook used to be the primary for younger people, now Instagram, now TikTok, and you watch what they're doing, is they're making social media more addictive for younger kids. So the reason TikTok's more addictive is because there aren't words now as much. It's just videos, and you can just scroll, and it's never ending. And now to think, if you were to ask a high school kid about Facebook, it's like, oh, that's boring.
That's MySpace.
MySpace. And I mean, so I think it's, that's the kind of the advice I would give. And look up what the methods are of them designing social media and see, like, why do they want you on social media? Because, it's pretty grim when you start to find out why.
Yeah, there. I don't like to, be all doom and gloom. However, there is a sinister undertow to kind of the trajectory that technology is taking us, and the consumerism mentality, and the sales agenda behind technology and how it's being crafted to addict us, give us dopamine hits in the brain to keep us coming back. And, I think that's huge that you're dialed into that. And something that I actually want to harken back to from another show that we did with, Matt recently, and I think it kind of comes down to semantics, but it's the same thing. He is very, deliberate about focus in his life. And you are using the term intentionality. And I think that that's kind of the key for us as guys, because technology, even good things like spending time with friends or different things like that, taken to an extreme, they're used to medicate us to where we're not able to be focused and intentional. And if we look at, again, at the life of Christ, very focused, very intentional. I mean, he did a entire world altering ministry in 3 years. And if we bring that level of intentionality and focus and deliberate attention to not allowing ourselves to be swept away in the just flow of society, I'm convinced that we're going to see just a complete change in the trajectory of our families, in the trajectory of our churches, the trajectory of our country. It all cascades and builds and compounds on each other.
100%. And if you, again, I think the mechanism that keeps us from being intentional and being focused and therefore doing the things that matter, that have true value, is the illusion of entertainment and connection that we find on social media technology. And I think, checking your screen time, and again, I'm just as guilty, because I owning a business, and there are days where, just recently, this group of guys I'm in, we kind of talked about the screen time. We're like, all right, we're gonna make it public to each other. And I was like, oh no, and that's vulnerable. Like, why am I worried? Well, because some weeks and some days with the business or just life, it's like, it's up there, screen time's up there. But what is that taking away from? Because if you're 4 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours per day that your eyes are glued to this glass screen, you're going to limit the things that matter in your life and what you're going to be able to do. And I think, the more that you can do things that matter, do things that you find, that we find a deeper meaning in, they will start to take us away from the stuff that is destroying us.
Yep.
So I don't think it's like, just get rid of this and then you'll be happy, then you'll be good. No, you can get rid of social media. Get rid of your smartphone and still sit on the couch all day and still, be lazy and not have a purpose or an aim, a motivation. And so I think for each person, I think the scary part is that we don't take stock.
Yeah.
But the phone is taking stock. I mean, that's how they sell to us.
Yeah. They're so intentional in how they come at us. Right. We need to be intentional on how we combat that, you know.
Right.
I hate to say attack, but, that
onslaught.
Onslaught. Yeah. I like that. That's perfect. And, I think it's important to remember that, we all have finite time, talent, and treasure that God has given us. And it all comes back to stewardship. We often talk about stewarding our financial resources and our material means. However, we don't talk too much about stewarding our time. And that's what, basically we've been chatting about as we've kind of dug into the social media aspect. Is being a steward of your time, because it is finite. We're only given so much time on this earth. And, we're also called to minister to our families. We're called to be active participants in our church. And if we are allowing ourselves to be duped into just allocating all this time, all this energy into this time suck of whatever it could be, technology, whatever, all of a sudden we're not stewarding what the resources that God has given to us. We're squandering them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, there's that quote, I can't remember who said it, but, he said, like, let me follow you around for a week and I can tell you who you are, who you're going to be, or who you're becoming. And I think we often have we have this perception of ourselves that we're stagnant, that we're sort of just this, we're this person that has become who we are for whatever reasons. We don't realize that we're always becoming what we do, what we give our time to. And you know, so it's like, well, what, again, what, whose image are we becoming? And if we're going to be, if we're supposed to be becoming more like the image of God, then what in our life would give us any reason, give that any reason to take place?
Yeah.
You know, and so what things are we, you know, because with Christ, it seems like a lot of times that's going to happen through like solitude and silence and then like loving relationships that's grounded on worship and gratitude and gratefulness. And I just think, you know, those things are, they're timeless and they're, and those are the permanent things, you know, gratefulness and gratitude and our prayer life and all this other stuff. It's a temporary,
yeah.
And but for some reason it's temporary, but it captures us,
yeah.
You know? So that's I think that's the warning. Sorry, this became such a,
that's all right, man. Well, now you don't have to have your rant with your students. We had it on the show today.
I guess it was probably about time, maybe.
You can put the show on repeat whenever they need to hear about social media and technology. That's awesome, man. But I think it's all significant, and I think it's something that's not getting enough conversation, specifically amongst guys, because we are just kind of letting ourselves get lulled into it. So my challenge to all of us is to have that intentional focus, and don't let ourselves just be caught off guard by whatever the enemy's trying to subversively do in the background. So kind of with that, I'll put you on the spot. Any like just huge nugget of wisdom that you think every guy should know that God's just kind of given to you that you want to share?
You know, I would say that, two things come to mind when I think of that question. One probably has come about more and more through, as we talked about earlier, learning jiu-jitsu, started training jiu-jitsu a couple years ago and learning the humility that takes place. Cause a lot of us, you know, as guys, we might have that humility baked into us early on when we're playing sports or whatever we're doing. We're kind of learning like, I'm not as good as the next man. I'm learning, I'm getting beat, I'm losing. That's which is healthy for us. And then you go on in life and you don't really have that anymore. Yeah. So when you walk into a jiu-jitsu gym and you start training and then you're getting beat and you're losing, it cultivates this humility if you're going to stick with it and if you're going to continue. And I think I think jiu-jitsu, there's other things that offer that lesson, but I think one of the most significant lessons I've learned is that humility of submitting to somebody, mm-hmm. you know, physically and, but also just submitting to Larry, our coach, and learning from him. And then, you know, I think gratefulness is the other one, you know, gratefulness and gratitude, just to me, it always kind of seems like the silver lining in life, you know. In any moment we can be cynical, and I can be cynical, and I'm maybe prone to that, but in any moment we can also be grateful for the breath that we breathe. We can be grateful for the life that we have and the place that we're in. And so I just, humility and gratefulness, I just don't think you can go wrong with those two things, you know.
That's strong. Well, cool, man. Do you mind closing us in prayer?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your goodness. We thank you that you've shown us Christ, that you've given us Christ as the way to teach us what it means to live in this world, to live with people, to love people, and to be people who can and ought to behold the image of God in our lives. May we continue to lead in any role that we are as men in ways that honor and glorify you, Lord. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, buddy.
Thank you,
Andy. And hopefully, in the coffee trade and the teaching trade, you'll find a little bit of time to come back someday.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah,
and we can go on our little diatribe about social media again. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Well, cool, man. So I'm sure guys are going to connect with what you're sharing today and will want to reach out to you. So what's, I think you said earlier, Instagram, is that the best way? Or
yeah, it's just Sharewell Coffee. That would be the best way to find me.
Okay.
Any, it could be our website, it could be Instagram, Zach@sharewellcoffee.com, email. Cool. So
yeah. Awesome. Sharewell Coffee, look it up, check it out. If you're in Western North Carolina, get some, unless you're like me and you don't like coffee, which
we'll get you there.
Yeah, I know. It's baby steps, man. I'll be there someday. So Sharewell Coffee, check them out, connect with Zach. And guys, as always, you're loved, you're sent. We wish you all the best out there, and get out of here. We'll catch you on the next go around.